Good morning and welcome to a special edition of A Vision for You. My name is Larry Kay, and I live in Chicago, and I'll be the host for our presentation today. Today is Sunday, November 10th, 2024. The share ID numbers for Friday, November 8th, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, that number is 21,899. That's 21899. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting on Friday, 21,900. That's 21900. This morning, A Vision for You presents When We Recover Loudly. So our speaker will utilize the Big Book to elaborate on the necessity of helping others in the fellowship, working with others on their journey through the recovery process. Our responsibility to carry the message so that those who are suffering know there's a way out. Now, I had about a two-hour thing before the presentation here. I'm going to distill it down to 2 minutes. How about that? Okay. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells us that if you've got this thing, this illness, your only shot at getting better really is what the book describes as a complete psychic change. Now, you will not have a complete psychic change in the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. Well, why is that? Because the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous was not designed to produce a complete psychic change in a compulsive overeater. Rather, the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous was designed as a place for the compulsive overeater to come and receive love and support while they have a complete psychic change. But that psychic change happens in the program of spiritual action, the program of recovery. And the program of spiritual action is laid out in the first 164 pages of the book called Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, we often lovingly refer to this as the Big Book, which is our basic text. And like any textbook, it's meant to be gone through with the teacher. And here we happen to call our teachers sponsors. Now, that's the deal, and it's really, really important that we understand that. The co-founders and pioneers in AA, they found a solution, and all the 12-step programs since that time are predicated on the very same simple solution. What I learned is steps 1, 2, and 3 prepare us for the work, but the work itself, the actual recovery, is steps 4 through 9. And then we have steps 10, 11, and 12. This is the manner in which we maintain, we grow what we get from steps 4 through 9, which, of course, is recovery. And I, for one, I don't know about you, I do not want to be secretive about this way out, right? I also don't want to be very hard to find, certainly in this fellowship. And the text lays out in detail the only 3 elements that are necessary to be pulled from the quicksand. This bitter morass, right? Number one, what is the problem? Number two, what is the solution to the problem? And then number three, how am I going to bring that solution to light? In other words, how is that solution manifested? Now, joining us this morning to share her experience is certainly someone who's not hard to find. You don't have to search high and low for her. We welcome Susan G. Susan is from California. She's a trusted servant in this fellowship, and she's dedicated to the practice and teaching of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA. So please join me in welcoming Susan to the line. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Susan G. I'm calling in from Los Angeles this morning, where it is still dark outside. If you're ever with me on Zoom meetings, I'm sitting in the same spot. This is where I moderate on Thursday mornings. This is where I attend my meetings. And across from me on the door, I have a T-shirt hanging which says, and the whole title was too long for the recording, "When we recover loudly, we keep others from dying quietly." I saw this statement on a T-shirt when I started my search for swag for the 2025 OA birthday party in January. And if you do come to Zoom meetings with me, I wore it a few weeks ago when I qualified on the Cornwall, New York meeting. And it really got me thinking about What does recovering loudly really mean? Does it mean I'm always at the front of the room? Does it mean I'm the yes, yes person pushing my way in? And then I started to look through the big book, and there were a lot of clues about how to do this. So before we get started, just to briefly qualify, first of all, welcome if you are new. I hope this morning that you will listen for the invitation. Today I'm just perhaps another lantern on your path. Perhaps I can light up a nook or a cranny that there needs to be some more God in. So I came into these rooms in the early 80s. I wanted nothing to do with any of it. As I always say, the name was not appealing. At the time when I came in, there was close to 200 meetings around me, which is unbelievable. And of course, no surprise that this is where Roseanne did start OA, actually not far from where I live. And when I moved here from London, I had never ever heard of anything like this. This was unbelievable to me. And when it was compared to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought, this is absolutely ridiculous. I'm not doing this. There's so much out there. There's so many places where I can get an effect from. You just pay lots of money and it works. I'd also watched all of you on television, and I didn't know that anybody here had a weight problem. My earliest memories of sneaking food are around 4 years old. And I should mention also my top weight was 250 pounds. I now have 25 years of being recovered. There wasn't any vision for you when I came in. Let me just silence my phone as everybody starts texting you at the inappropriate time. Sorry about that. Not that you can hear it. So 250 pounds. I lost my... I lost my weight many, many times, too many to mention, went on all the diets, all the tricks that you all did, and none of it worked. Because like Bill said, I was lonely and I drank again. I was lonely and I ate again. I was lonely and I starved again. I was lonely and I vomited again. I only overate. But, you know, here I was in my early 20s going to an event and having to go to a store in Beverly Hills called The Forgotten Woman, because that was the only place that had something decent for me to wear. So it took me 16 years of coming in and out of these rooms to fully concede to my innermost self. I said yes to sponsors all along. I ghosted them. I changed where I went to meetings, same way that I would drive to all areas to different diet doctors. And I always like to share this because it really, well, it gets me right between the eyes. Once I had my jaw wired shut, because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you do that? And I went to somebody's house because somebody said to me, just wire your jaw shut. That'll stop you from eating. So I thought, okay, that sounds like quite a good idea. And I want you to know that if, God forbid, you ever break your jaw and everything, your jaw is wired shut with wire, with a thick needle across and up and down and up and down. And if you are a compulsive overeater of the hopeless type that I am, you will have your jaw wired for 3 months and you will lose no weight. And I know none of you are thinking, wow, how could that be? Well, there's something called a straw. There's something called letting things melt in your life. And I left there and I drove through a drive-through where, you know, there was a little girl. She wore pigtails. That was that place. And they had these cold drinks and I lived on them for days. So that's who I am. So let's talk about when we recover loudly. And again, you know, you don't hear what you need to hear. There are many, many meetings. in the beginning of the big book on XVIII, forward to the second edition, I start the book at the beginning of the book. There was an article written in 1939. I'm reading this, obviously. I don't know it like some do. The Fulton Ousler. And the then editor of Liberty gave us a chance to have an article written. And that was the same for Roseanne. She went on a TV show, and that changed everything. And there were 800 frantic inquiries. And each inquiry was painstakingly answered. So today, I could sit down here at my computer, right? I could have a template. Could even have a template on a card and we could write them down. Or guess what? You can put certain cards through printers. And then boom, I just take them off to the post office and the postman, you know, there we go. It comes to somebody. But back then, people painstakingly sat there and handwrote those letters, put big books into envelopes, and they walked door to door, door to door. That, for me, is recovering loudly, but also the step is light. They were trusting in God that God would get this message out. And, in you know, step one tells us that our common welfare should come first. And tradition five and tradition one, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. So if I'm carrying the message, it isn't just sponsoring and speaking from the front of the room. That's what this T-shirt made me think about. It's what envelopes am I stuffing? What seat am I pushing out? Where am I not just sitting there thinking I could do this better? Where am I offering to be of help? I listened to Vision for a long time before I was able to be of service, mainly because the drive I had to work at the time, and I drove through, if you're in LA, you know what I'm talking about, I had to drive over the canyons to get to where I worked, and there was no self-service there, and let alone you could not press star one to be involved. And 5 years ago, I moved, hold on, I'm sipping my tea, I moved, and I thought, okay, I can start to be more of service, and I contacted Leah. Started out being a reader, and now Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific, actually Wednesdays this month, I get to moderate. And again, I get to moderate. I have all these fun things I do to take down your names. I try and guess where your states are from. But again, I'm in the center of the herd, and I'm spreading this message. But again, I don't have to be speaking. So that's those traditions. So again, painstakingly. And also, there was no UPS. There was no FedEx. This is what happened. So when Bill was lying there in the hospital, we also know that he decided he had to help other people. And he, too, went, went door to door, door to door, and he helped other people. Am I knocking on doors? No, of course I'm not, because people wouldn't open their doors to me. But then that takes me, to Jim and Fred, and to people who perhaps realize Jim had more knowledge than Fred did, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. But each time when they saw him, they looked over what he did and they thought, here we go. But nobody sat there and admonished him, and they sat there quietly and they gave him love and they shared this message of God with him. And the first person who Fred called was, I'm assuming, Bill and Bob, or maybe it was a few others, maybe the other Bob was there by now. And they just sat there and they listened to him. Maybe they held his hand, I don't know. So I constantly think about, where does God want me to be? On page 128, it talks about having a stirring spiritual experience, and overnight we become different people. We're told that we're selfish and self-centered. I would tell you that I never was. Was never selfish and self-centered. And then I take this out of the rooms with all of you, and I realize, oh, you know, I haven't always been kind and loving and been amazing with my family. So I have to set out and look at that. And I come from a loud family, so I actually now have to keep quiet. I now don't have a comment about the way everybody else lives. When I used to go on a diet, or even when I came in and out of these rooms, I was always ready to tell you what you should do. Size 26 dress, 250 pounds, I'm telling you how to eat. Thank you very much, Susan. Keep your information to yourself. And my family would just turn away from me. And to tell you, from recovering loudly from the inside out, my inside is still when I am around them. If they ask me a question, comment. My sister is in and out of these rooms, and right now she's really suffering, and she hasn't asked me a question yet, and she hasn't said to me, I'm in pain. I can see it because, like me, you know, physically, I can see it. And, of course, it's heartbreaking, but a day at a time, I'm keeping quiet for now, and just all pray for me that I can keep quiet, because page 11 told me to. It said, here was something at work in a human heart. So if I want to be an example, if I want to be a shining lantern on this path, I can't just preach it and not do it. So many pages and so many notes here. Who knows where we will go? So who takes care of the newcomers? We always say the newcomer is the most important person in the room. Do you go to local fellowship? I was very fortunate before COVID having local fellowship for 20 plus years and all of these meetings. And I still go to my home group, you know, maybe every other month. I'll be on it on Zoom in a couple of hours. Who's talking to that person in the back of the room? Who's talking to that person who's scared, who doesn't want to stand up when they ask 19 times, where's the newcomer? That's what I'm doing to keep others from dying quietly. I'm going over and saying welcome. And you know how I know to do that? Because you did that to me. My home group is in the San Fernando Valley in an area called Studio City. And I used to bop in and out of there every time I was miserable, right? Pain was the touchstone until it wasn't. And there was a lady in there who started the meeting, and she always came over to me. And to this day, I still go there and I take my candle there, and I'm always so happy when I see her. And I always thank her, because just through her love and kindness, or offering me if I wanted a cup of coffee, because back then that was all in the rooms, just that little bit of kindness. She recovered loudly, but from the inside, just, you know, a squeeze of your hand, a smile across the room. So if I've abandoned myself, have I abandoned myself completely and set aside my ego? Not always. It comes up. Of course it does, because I'm human. So page 19 tells me that many could recover if they had the opportunity we have enjoyed. What have I enjoyed? I've enjoyed laughter. I've enjoyed love. I've enjoyed fellowship. And there's also been pain. We go through so many different things in here. And one of the hardest things can be is seeing our friends walk out these doors. But you know what? I still have people who I was friends with, who I've sponsored. Sometimes we speak more than other times, but when they pick up the phone and they call me, even if I wonder, are they in pain? We just have a regular conversation, because I need to be welcoming and kind that one day they will come back. As it tells me on page 83, the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Page 85 tells me every day is a day. I must carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities. So it tells me I need to recover with grace, be kind, be welcoming. Don't wait for everyone else. It's not my service position to put out the chairs. It's not my service position to clean up the coffee. That's okay. I'm giving a demonstration of how these principles work throughout, in and out my life. It's the same at work. I'm still the birthday cake cutter. That's okay. Nobody even notices that I don't have a piece. I saw this really cool way online how to cut cakes, and we had a cake. Actually, it was my cake in September. And I said, oh, I want to cut it. And they go, but you never eat it. I go, I have a new way to cut it, and I want to see if it works. And it did. And nobody asked me, but I shared love with those people who wanted to give it. I didn't have to get on the high horse. I didn't have to say anything. Where am I? Again, I want to go back to family. You know, we have a chapter called The Family Afterwards, and it can take a minute for people to start trusting us again. And I have to painfully admit all of my defects, and, you know, especially to my dad, just so heartbreaking, because your parents love you no matter what. And all those lies I told him, it was me. And he was just fine with it, but gosh, I was just really, really hard. And, you know, today I have a nephew who's turning 25 in January, which is absolutely ridiculous. And he's never known me any other way. He'll ask me when he comes to stay, when are your meetings, what are you doing, where are we going? And he's been to meetings, and when he was little, I used to take him, and he'd just sit there with his headphones on. And, you know, everybody, page 130, this dream world has been replaced by a great sense of purpose, accompanied by a growing consciousness of the power of God in our lives. Every step I take, physically and in these rooms, leads back to God. Who would God have me be? Who would God have me be today? And there's so much joy to be had here. The joy of living is talked about in step 12. And it says we have a way up and out, step 12 in the AA 12 and 12. So if I fail to enlarge my spiritual life, I'm going to be recovering loudly in all the wrong places, in all the wrong places, because nothing, nothing we have found incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. So where am I still being selfish and self-centered? It's not about how many sponsees I have. Am I being of service, or am I just critical of this one, critical of that one? Yes, sometimes I am, but I write my behaviors because they don't feel comfortable today. So if any of you have ever been to England, there's a place in Hyde Park that's called Speaker's Corner. And on a Sunday morning, it's already gone by, people just stand on boxes and yell out what they're feeling. It can be from the Bible. They say they're aliens. They say they've come down from a spaceship. And, you know, they aren't all very well. And some of them maybe do have a message of depth and weight. But that is not who I see that God wants me to be, just flying this big OA flag. However, if I am out there and I need to break my anonymity to somebody, that's what it tells me to do. Because in the contents on step 10, tradition 5, page 10 in the AA 12 and 12, it says that the life of our fellowship depends on this principle to carry this message. So if I see a need to identify myself, I do it, and I do it very quietly in a way that won't embarrass the other person. I also do it in the rooms when I see people coming back and if their cameras aren't on. When I moderate, if somebody says, I've never shared before, it's amazing. Now, I don't know how many people are here today. It could just be me and Larry. I know Harlan's here because we chatted before the meeting. And it could just be my East Coast sponsees and my East Coast friends. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So it isn't always about spreading the message that way. So when I came in here, let me tell you, I definitely spread the message the wrong way. I sponsored the wrong way. I just thought that everybody who had any weight should, why wouldn't you want me to sponsor you? And let's go through the steps and do it this way and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And it didn't work. God needed to open my heart all the more, right? Appendix 2 is all about having change in your life. And change takes a minute. I'm continuing to evolve here. I continue to call it study the big book, to go to different workshops, to listen to different people. When I'm on a meeting, I go through a notebook a year of taking messages from all of you. And then sometimes I transfer them into my notes section and I reference them. So I can't scare people away. And I'm sure I used to do that. Turn on your camera, be a part of the meeting. I know I'm not shy. I'm from a family who isn't shy. But how can I tone it down to welcome in that person who is? Because again, if it is my primary purpose to help other people, I have to listen for the clues. I think for today is conference approved because it's got the little OA thing on it. I know the other book I wanted to use wasn't, and if it isn't, somebody star one and unmute. On August 30th, there's a reading that says, only by being willing to give up the safety of the old can I find out what the new has for me. I was scared to death when I came here. That's why I couldn't let go absolutely. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, what you were going to make me do. You didn't make me do anything. Just like when Bill sat down with Bob, you helped me understand who I was, but you did it with a smile on your face. You didn't admonish me. You just said, yes, I've been there too. I've been there too. And you were excited to see my life take on a new meaning. You were excited to see the light return to my eyes. Way before my weight came off, you don't lose 100 plus pounds overnight. There are certain ways that you can, but when I did that, it didn't work for me. It didn't work for me because just like Bill, one more time, I was face down in loaves and gallons because I was lonely. I was lonely. I didn't know what to do with that jiggy hole, and only God could and would if he was sought. And going to an ashram for the weekend didn't help me. Going to yoga 4 days a week, it helped my body, but it didn't connect me to God in the way I wanted to, because I used to demand things from God. And very loudly on Sunday nights. So how do I get to have this bright spot without being, you know, a real nuisance and always being the one who speaks up? And I will say I do speak up. Firm believer in the traditions and in sharing the correct message, which to me is just here in the big book. And it says that if I let God discipline me in this simple way, my life is going to change. I'm paraphrasing. It doesn't actually say that. But it does work. It really, really does work. And it takes hard work. And the longer I'm here, actually, the harder I work. It could be very easy to rest on our laurels. And as you're here for longer, you will hear people with a lot of time doing work. And you think, God, they've been doing this forever. Why can't I get a chance? Please speak up. Please speak up. When you sign up for the birthday party, there's a place on your form where you want to help, what you're qualified for. We want you to help. We want bright new faces in the reception area. We want people who don't have enough time to speak moderating. We want to see you up there. We don't want you sitting in the back row dying quiet, thinking that OA has no space for you, because it has so much room for all of us. This is a broad highway. We're never going to get overpopulated. Never, ever. So I have to get myself off of that bridge of reason, thinking, oh, they did it this way, they do it that way. That one always makes the best presentations on the special edition. This is such an odd title. I've got these notes, but I don't know where it's going. And, of course, my notes are to the side now. Everybody here has something to say. You all have something to offer me. Newcomer, old-timer, somebody returning. I cannot rest on my laurels, though. So I, you know, the part that I really missed when I started sponsoring was, don't start out as an evangelist or a reformer. And that was the same thing when I got this, calling my friends who hadn't gotten it and saying, I figured out how to do this and blah, 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 and you do this and you do that. And Maxine R. was my sponsor, and she used to run the OA office, and I used to go over there a lot and sit with her. And I go, I can't understand this and this and this. And Maxine would always just sit there and go, how's that working for you? Okay. And I would sit there while she was doing the OA books, and she'd give me writing assignments. And I would sit there. There was my bright lantern. And no lie, I would sit there and write. And when she was done or off the phone, I would read her my writing. And that was how she reduced my ego. And that was how I got off of this pink cloud. The pink cloud of being thin, and why doesn't everybody want to do it the way I do it? So I'm a huge fan as well of the stories. And in the stories, they also tell of this fellowship. And let me just see here. Where did I go? On page 274, there's one of my favorite stories, always has been, I don't know why, The Keys of the Kingdom. And she says, and I'm just going to, again, read it in my words, nothing in my life can take precedence over the response to a call for some help from another compulsive overeater in need. People travel miles. We've all got loads of Zoom mileage. People are going to travel miles in January to come to the OA birthday party. They've done it when you've had the Vision for You conferences. I hope there's another one, and I would love to come. And why do they do it? Because they claim that it's a privilege. And we insist, and it is true from my own experience, I receive more than you give to me. And then it says that we're extraordinary people, but I can't fly high on that kite. Also tells me that OA is not a plan for recovery that can be finished and done with. So that's why I continue to recover loudly. I must, or I will perish. And if you are new here, I'm not this eloquent. All of these words come from the big book. So as arrested, they say, alcoholics, we must have a program for living that allows for limitless expansion. We just talked about the broad highway, right? The broad highway and that beach when we get off from the Bridge of Reason. If you know me, I don't go on the beach very much. I'm very lily white, but you can go on the beach if you want. I will, with a big umbrella. Then there's another story called The Missing Link. And on page 286, It says, a couple of members realized I was there for my first meeting. Look to the back of the room. I encourage you to go to local fellowship. Stay on when the meetings close on Vision, even if you aren't an available sponsor. Perhaps take down the numbers of people who are in need, because they are dying and they need our help. And it says they took me downstairs and outlined the program. And just like me from my first meeting, I recall very little of what was said to me, but that acorn was planted. I didn't see that woman again for 22 years. I never forgot her name. I know you've all heard this story, or I'm assuming it's just people here who I know. And then there was this whole weird connect, just like a tapestry in life. And it turned out that one of my sponsees had been friends with her in her 20s, and when I said her name, never connected. Somebody else had once told me she still comes. And several years ago, I spoke at a meeting, and I always thanked her, right? She stopped me from dying quietly, even though she didn't realize it. And of course, my box of tissues are here with me on my table, because here we go. And when I'd finished my talk, for some reason, my sponsor was there and all these people on Zoom, and they kept looking at me. And it was very strange, and I'm thinking, what's happening? Do I have spinach in my teeth? Have they got just the speaker thing on? And I'm saying her name because it's okay to. And she wrote to me and she said, Susan, it's me, Stacy. I am here. And that woman changed my life. She was a teacher at the gym class that I went to, where ladies like me would go. You can figure out which one it was. This is an outside issue. And she offered for me and a friend to come to a meeting. I had no car. I had to go. Please know that. I had no car. I had to go. I probably was thinking, what the fudge-a-doodle? And I did. And I went to a 100-pounder meeting, and there was so much love and laughter in there looking back. So, of course, what does Susan do? She says, I hate this and I want to leave. In that moment, my life was changed. So my point of telling you this story is you never, ever know whose life you are changing with kindness, with a smile, from getting into a stranger's car. I'm not saying I advise you doing that today. But that's what these people did with this man. That's what they did. And they also told him, you can stay sober a day at a time. So don't look ahead of, oh my gosh, the wreckage, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. And then, page 326, Student of Life, which I need to be. And it says, halfway down the page, at that AA meeting, when I looked out over all those faces, I finally saw the truth. And one day I did. I saw the light in your eyes. I saw God speaking through you. And I decided to recover out loud with you. Person says they threw themselves into AA, OA. I did everything that was suggested. That isn't always easy, I know. But I have to look at the mess I was making of my life. 250 pounds at the last count, asking for seatbelt extenders, lying when people asked me, are you pregnant? The first time I was so offended, and the second time I just thought, whatever. Your body is not pleasant when you are that fat. It's not pleasant living in over 100 degree weather. We ride this roller coaster, it says, in early sobriety, but every single second is worth it. Says at the end, I came to OA in order to stop drinking. What I received in return was my life. And I'm going to close it up with this. I forgot to set my timer right away, so I don't want to, no chutzpah going on here. I have to remember that this is an page 332, that this is an unacknowledged progressive disease, and it was destroying me, and it will continue to if I let up. If I let up. So 4:30 this morning, here I am, starting to get a little bit lighter out. I'm going to be okay. It is an honor and a privilege to pass this on, this links of the chain. People who aren't old enough will remember that big commercial that there used to be for a drink, and they used to say they'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. And it was this massive circle, and sometimes it's repeated over Super Bowl weekend and different things. And that's how I see OA, this everlasting circle. And for those of you who are younger, I hope that you start speaking up. I hope that you join us on this broad highway. I was 22 when I first came to this meeting, these meetings. Everybody was my age now, and I thought, there is no way I'm not having any of this. But I have to remember, this is a progressive disease, and I wouldn't be looking forward to that fatality. In closing, page 332, my food addiction took me to such depths of denial and heights of arrogance that this person, she waited for the police. I didn't have to do that. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and it says, I was outraged. I couldn't possibly be an alcoholic. I have a good income. I own a home. This is funny. This one in River of Denial actually says, I had a car phone. This is one of the newer ones. I had the disease. I had the ism. And the last thing I wanted was to be a compulsive overeater. And today is the best thing in my life. It brought me the truth. It brought me a life. I have friends beyond belief. I have no separation here. OA is not a part-time job. I don't have my program. I don't have this checklist. In the beginning, I definitely did, but I don't today. I do it freely. I don't count my calls. I don't this, whether I get them in, whether I get them out. It just is. This is just the life I live. My family knows when my meetings are. My family certainly knows how busy I am over Christmas and the beginning of January. And that's okay, because they would rather have me this way than the way I was. I'm going to close with this on page 333. Other than having God in my life, which God is everywhere, and if you don't like what I've said this morning, please take it to God. The most compelling part of Overeaters Anonymous, the part that makes me, I'm paraphrasing, constantly want to stay in the center of the herd with you. The sober thing is the laughter, the pure joy of the laughter that I hear only from recovered compulsive overeaters. I do have a life today beyond my wildest dreams. Thank you to Bill Wilson for wandering around in that hotel, right, not knowing whether to choose the bar or choose us, which is really what he was doing. Thank you to those people who frantically responded to those 800 inquiries. Thank you to Roseanne and Maxine and Natalie and Doris and Mary B. and all those ladies who responded to those letters after Roseanne was on that show. And she talks about in that recording that she has, and you can hear it at the birthday party, how after she was on the show, she went to a post office box and they said, oh, you need to go in the back. And she thought, how strange. And I think, I can't remember, I should know this because I've edited it before, but we did it on Zoom. There was over 10 sacks of post. So just like Father Christmas coming with all of his stuff, there were all these letters. And these ladies went through them. They went through them, and that's how OA started. So I hope that you will join me on this broad highway each and every day and give back, and I look forward to seeing you in January. And any questions about the birthday party, please do call me. And Larry, I've run out of steam and my tea is getting cold, so I'm going to pass it back to you. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Susan. You know, Susan, thanks so much. When I think of, see, I didn't know Susan when I only know the smiling, you know, the laughter and the levity. You know, that's the only person I know, and those are the people with recovery. I don't know the person who couldn't smile, perhaps, right? So thank you, Susan, for, you know, what comes to mind is just the humility with your presentation. It was clear and just so authentic, and that's attractive, right? And a great contribution to the Vision for You archives with this presentation, which is a great segue for the share ID for Susan's presentation. Let me give you that number now, and I'll give it again later. That number is 21,901. That's 21901. And again, Susan, thanks for your generous service this morning, especially so early. While Susan's heating up her tea, let me let you know that we're going to transition now to a Q&A, questions and answer segment. And so if you got a question rolling around in your mind for Susan, you know, we pay her really well with continued recovery. So let's make good use of this time here. And what you're going to do in just a moment here is press star one to unmute your phone. And if you have a question for Susan, questions only, please, give me your first name and last initial. I'll try to hear everyone.
Diane G. Canada.
Diane.
Elaine F. New York.
Elaine.
Krista S. Kansas. Illinois.
Krista E. Wisconsin.
Candace.
Good morning.
Good morning, Candace. Who else? Okay, it's a good start. I heard that
could
again.
Be
from
a long
one. Say it again from LA.
Roger V.
Roger.
Brenda A. New York.
Brenda. Anybody else? Okay.
Jane F. in New Hampshire.
Let's stop with Jane. And let me tell you what happens. We'll come. Yeah. Well, Abby, we'll circle back around. So here's what I heard. Okay. And if everyone would, other than Diane, for the moment, would unmute, would please mute by pressing star one. Here's our list, okay? Diane, Elaine, Krista, Candace, Roger, Brenda, Jane, and Abby. And we'll see where we're at. And questions only, please, in the interest of time. So let's start with, if everyone else would, if you're not Diane, please mute yourself again. And let's start with Diane. Diane, good morning. What question do you have?
Good morning. Hi there. I'm Diane G., a grateful recovered compulsive eater from Canada. And Susan, oh, thank you for your beautiful share. I do have a question to ask, but I first have to explain what my problem is. I've been calling myself recovered for the past 3.5 years, so I'm almost embarrassed or ashamed to ask this question. I'm really struggling and spending alone time with God in solitude the first thing in the morning. I do all the right things. I ask God to help me stay focused and disciplined during our time together. I do the two-way prayer, but to be honest, it is much easier for me to dial into a vision meeting or spend 1.5 hours with my sponsee. So my question is, do you have a hard time spending time in solitude with God? And if you don't, do you have any suggestions for me? And should I be calling myself recovered? Thank you.
Hi, Diane. Thank you. Nice to hear your voice. We share a Saturday morning meeting together. I'm not going to get into what you should be calling yourself, as that's not my place or my business. I used to have a hard time sitting still because my head was buzzing around. I have a routine that I follow. I would, you know, connect with other people. There are some great recordings on here. There's a really good one called The Broken Bridge. I would suggest listening to that. And one of the things I do for myself now, I didn't do it perfectly this morning because I knew that Leah would have texted me, you know, you get your confirming text, and I wanted to give her a thumbs up that I'd received it. I try not to look at any of my devices in the morning. I have a whole routine of putting on the kettle, making my tea, putting up the blinds, which normally now I can see the pink sky. And I know that I have to do this because if I leave God behind in the mornings, a meeting isn't my higher power. Can I hear God and find God perhaps in there? But I need that quiet time because otherwise I'm going to run off and run the show. So as to what you should be calling yourself, I would talk to your sponsor about that. Thank you for the question, Diane.
Yeah, thanks, Diane. Okay, next up with the question, we have Elaine, followed by Krista. Elaine, good morning to you.
Hi, this is Elaine S. from New York. And first, I want to thank you, Susan, for so much work that you've done over so many years in program. And I've been to the OA birthday party many, many times. And you had a workshop where you brought Harlan in L.A., and I drove in from Santa Barbara where I was living, and just and you came out and spoke at one of our meetings at Channel Island Intergroup. So I want to thank you for all your years of service, including vision. And my question is, you started to talk about it a little bit with after the last question. And could you tell us more about your relationship with your higher power and how that's developed over time? And that's it. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Elaine, for the question. I wish I could put your face to your name right now. I'm normally pretty good at that. But anyway, thank you. So when I started doing this, there were no meditation apps. There was nothing going on, okay? Cell phones weren't around. I did have a flip phone. And so I had to learn how to sit quietly. And here was my turning point. I would sit there and I would do it and I'd read on awakening and blah, blah, blah. And a year after recovery, so one whole year of doing this, 365 days out of the year, I get involved with doing a 3-day breast cancer walk. And I'm very type A personality. Whatever they told us to do, I did. I built the walks up the way you were supposed to. My two girlfriends who I did it with had kids. We couldn't walk. And I'd go out and walk at 4 or 5 in the morning, depending on how many miles I had to do. And one of the instructions was that you couldn't have, here we go, your Walkman or your iPod with you. Younger people are thinking, no idea what she's talking about, because they wanted you to be very aware of traffic, very aware of if routes changed. So you go from 4 miles and you build up to 25 miles back to back the last few weekends. So I could either talk out loud to the leaves or the trees, or I could talk inwardly to God. And in that 9 months of training, because I started in January and we did it in September, my whole relationship with God changed. God rewired my heart. Said, okay, I've tapped you on the shoulder. I've shown you this. And now we're going to spend this time together. So, I had to be turned. I kept spinning myself around in different directions and all sorts of stuff. And I'm not saying that they didn't work, but I found God in that silence. So it was loud on the LA streets, but I found him in that silence, and that's when everything changed for me. So I'm not saying you have to sign up to do a 3-day walk, but that's just how it happened for me. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Okay, next up we have Krista, followed by Candace. Krista, good morning to you. Krista, press star 1, if you would.
Hi, sorry, can I be heard?
You can. Good morning.
Thank you. All right. Good morning. Thanks, Susan, so much for that awesome lead. I have, okay, this is my question. So at some point you had said that you sat down with someone, and I kind of missed what you said, so I'm going to ask you to repeat it. You said that you had sat down with someone and shared your notes on something in order to get yourself off the pink cloud, off of being thin, off the high horse. Can you repeat what you said?
Yes, I think I was talking about when I used to go and see Maxine at the OA office. And if I was for change being righteous about something or trying to make a point, she would literally just give me a writing assignment right there. And I would sit in the OA office and write and then read her my writing. So that was what we did. I think that's the part that you're referencing. And if it isn't.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Candace.
Okay. Actually, that was Krista, and who is now followed by Candace.
Oh, sorry.
And then, that's okay. No problem. So Candace is up next, followed by Roger. Candace, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Candace E. from Wisconsin. I appreciate your time this morning, Susan, and your your heartfelt story. I'm wondering, I'm one of those who comes and goes and comes back and goes, leaves. And I'm wondering if you have suggestions that could help me to stop that vicious cycle. I have a wonderful sponsor now, and she is very patient with me, but I need some guidance as to not walk back out the door again. I've been doing this for 18 years. So thank you very much, Susan.
Thank you for the question. I mean, I can only, not in the advice giving business, I can only tell you that for me, until I fully surrendered, right? It says in step one of the 12 and 12, who likes to admit complete defeat? Well, I can tell you, not me. Who doesn't want to be a winner, right? But only an act of providence can help me, it also tells me. So, you know, pain is the touchstone. For me, it wasn't even about the size of my derriere. It was I went home on a family trip. And, you know, that can get you. And I really saw my behaviors and I didn't like who I was. And also, where are you going? That's what I realized today for myself. I'm coming back here because this is where the answer is. This is where the solution is. So I had to set aside everything I thought I knew. I could have gone bankrupt, you know, chasing an effect of pills and potions and all sorts of stuff, which I did, and none of them helped. Because that progression of this illness is very, very aggressive. I did not go on a diet to weigh 250. And by the way, that was the last time I looked. I did not want in my 20s to be wearing a size 26 dress. So I keep on coming to meetings. And what happens is people come back and they remind me of what it's like. And they also remind me of where I haven't been yet. This will take you down to a really, really dark place. Just read Bill's story. He tells us. So do I want to live in that bits and morass of self-pity? So I don't know where else there is to go other than here. So just, you know, just listen to God's whisper and listen for that invitation and come all the way in and sit all the way down. It's, you know, again, it can't be part-time. It isn't a buffet. We have to take it all. So I hope that helps.
Thank you, Candace, for the question. And next up, we have Roger, followed by Brenda. Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Roger, compulsive overeater. Good morning, Susan. Is it odd or is it God? I don't normally come to this meeting, but I woke up at the appointed time to use the loo, as you would say, and God tapped me on the shoulder and said, go to special edition. Two questions. One, I have a sponsee that called me up and said, I have a secret I need to tell you, and I hope you won't drop me, that he has started with one of those outside issue drugs that are going around that is supposed to help with weight loss. And he said, I only know 12-step rooms, and I admit that I'm a compulsive overeater, and I need OA. But this drug has been revolutionary in giving me a jump start. Do you have any experience with that?
I don't at all. I don't. Good morning, Roger, first of all. Nice to know there's two West Coast people here. But again, for me, that would be frothy emotional appeal. And I'm sure it is miraculous, but I can't afford to go there. Page 27 tells me what I need to do. I need to have this vital spiritual experience. I need my ideas, emotions, and attitudes, right, which were once the guiding forces. And if they start to become the guiding forces again, I'm headed down that dark hole again. And I don't have the guarantee that I could get out. I don't have the guarantee that this won't be the last bite. And next time I'll get it. So that's all I can say. And, you know, sorry. Thanks, Roger.
Okay, quickly, other question. What do you do when you're out with normies who don't seem to get it because I'm at a normal body weight now and they look at me like, what's your problem? What, you know, why do you need those meetings? What, you know, I was being taught Mahjong last night and they look at me like I'm crazy.
I don't think other people have to get it. Also, where we live, Roger, I don't think we're any different. Everybody is the way we do anyway. I don't try and convince people. It's okay. They don't need to know. And then sometimes if people really go on, I say to them, if I was a heroin addict or an alcoholic, would you encourage me to, you know, stick this needle in my arm? Well, no, of course not. And they go, oh, it's like that for you? And I go, yeah, they have an allergy to alcohol and I have an allergy to certain ingredients. But I don't try and convince anybody because it's okay. I know who I am and I certainly know who I am not. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Roger. And Mahjong is outlawed in Chicago. Brenda, good morning to you, followed by Jane. Hi, Brenda.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you for your service. Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. I love your honesty and I love your humility. I have to tell you honestly, Susan, I was always so fearful when I heard you speak because I never thought I could ever be where you are. My question is, Susan, I have a pattern of negative thinking. And there were days that I know the miracles of my life were taken care of by a higher power. How did you stop fighting? I know you may have touched on this, but I'm constantly fighting for control. I'd love your input on that. How did you stop trying to keep your own control?
Good morning, Brenda. Nice to hear your voice. God did that for me. I gave a little bit. I received a massive return. I gave a bit more. My return was bigger. So if you think of it as a spiritual bank or the spiritual prescription, whatever you want to call it, what I put in, I get back tenfold. And again, I was killing myself. I was miserable. And you know, it says pain is the touchstone and this is this and this is that. But it is. It is. So, you know, I read On Awakening every day. You've all seen these pages in my book. And I ask God to direct my thinking. And I really asked for that this morning. Really asked for that because this was a little bit of a different title. And I had all of my pages. And I'm like, will this go over right? Will it this? Do this? And I'm like, it will be what it will be. Going to be okay. So, and again, though, one of the most important things is I have to divorce myself. So divorce yourself. Write yourself a document from self-pity, dishonest or self-seeking motives. Self-pity can kill. So you just have to let go. It's not serving you. If it was, you wouldn't be asking the question. So cancel your subscription. And that's all I can say, Brenda. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda, for the question. Next up, we have Jane, followed by Abby. Good morning, Jane.
Well, good morning, Larry. My name is Jane S., and I'm in New Hampshire. And I just want to say I'm so grateful to be here this morning. And I am one of those that I guess have been sitting in the back of the room a little bit, in and out over the years. So thank you for reminding me that I need to step up. And launching from the one of your answers to the question, found God in the silence. That's just so beautiful. I love it. Would you share a couple more examples of what it looks like when you are recovering from the inside out, when you're around family or maybe those who aren't in program? And thank you.
Sure, thank you, Jane. So I briefly touched on my sister before. She'll never call into this, and if she does, oh well. And I can tell you that it was just awful the way I originally 12-stepped her into these rooms. Terrible. I've apologized for it. I've talked about it when she's been in meetings. Just, you know, I had no grace. And it was in a changing room of a store, and it was awful. It was just awful. And today, you know, I see her suffering. I'm the one she's going to butt heads with. I know I'm going to eventually do something, but I have to be right-sized about it. I can't be, what are you doing? What are you this? What are you that? And again, kindness and love is what helped me get better. And that's what I have to give out freely. So when people come back into meetings, I'll jot down their numbers. I'll call them. I'm so happy you're back. I always say, you know, welcome back. We saved your seat. Not we saved a seat for you. We saved your seat. Nobody gave up your space in the room. Your rent has been paid in full. And, you know, in my family, which was the hardest thing, you know, it took time. It takes what it takes. There was a lot of tumult, a lot of things growing up. And as we mature and grow up, I got to see that choices that my dad made were things that were the best for us. So again, God reveals more to me each day, right? That new pair of glasses, uncover, discover, discard. And discarding is so important. I can't become a hoarder of my resentments. It just doesn't work for me. So I hope that sort of answers your question. And if not, feel free to call me. Thank you, Jane.
Okay, so before we go to you, Abby, just to let folks know, if you have a question for Susan, we'll take another round of questions if there are some. And with that in mind, Abby, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Larry. Thanks for your service. And Susan, thank you so much. I love you, and I just appreciate all that you do for this program and sharing it with others. My question is, how do you share it with someone outside of the room that you think might be interested? But you don't, you know, you don't want to do it loudly and obnoxiously, but how do you do that? Thanks.
Thank you, Abby. Well, I have a story for that too. Clearly I have a lot of stories, and this really happened. And again, some of you will have heard this. I was driving in a car with a work colleague. It was in 2019. I clearly remember this. Coming back up Sunset Boulevard from the Pacific Palisades. It sounds like a song, right? And I, you know, they say if you've got it, you spot it. And I could tell this woman, we'd only just started working together, and I really, really enjoyed her. And we'd gone to this holiday thing, and people were eating and doing. It wasn't a mealtime for me. They were drinking champagne. There were some Australian people there, all a mix. And they said, oh, do you want a drink? I said, oh, far too early for me. Do you want anything to eat? I said, I'm good. I had a late breakfast. And one of them said, I bet you'd like a good cup of tea. And I said, oh, I would. Thank you. And this person continued to eat, and we're driving back. And she said to me, I don't know why I'm telling you this, because I know you would never understand, because looking at me as a normal size body person. And she said, I just look at you at these events and you never eat, and you bring your pretty salads and your vegetables and all your stuff to work, and it's so lovely. But, you know, girls like you would never understand. And I remember saying, understand what? And she said, I feel like when I eat, I'm an alcoholic. So now she's crying, and we're winding back up Sunset Boulevard, for those of you who live here, and she's driving. I'm thinking, oh, God. Now is not the time. And there was God giving me that, like, okay, be gentle. And I put my hand on her hand on the steering wheel, kind of because I wanted the steering wheel to stay straight. It can get a bit windy at the top. And I said, I do understand. I said, I used to be just like you. We did not crash, thank God. And I told her my story. And she was gobsmacked. And when we got back to the office, it was last day of work. Before the holiday, she came into my office. I have my photos on my phone. She's come to meetings. She attended the birthday party while it was on Zoom. She's met some of you. Just isn't resonating. She said, well, I've read the book myself, and I just don't get it. And I said, well, that's okay, but you need to get a sponsor in this. And now I've let it go. She knows where we are, and there you have it. You know, God presents these situations, and all I offer her, I mean, she's one of my dearest friends. I really love her, and I know that God has a plan. So thank you, Miss Abby, for the question.
Okay, so now we have more time. If you have a question for Susan, press star one, and give me your first name and last initial. Who has a question for Susan?
Diane S. from Pennsylvania.
Diane and Sonia, I got so far.
Mary C.
Mary.
Lisa N.
Lisa. Rosemary. Oh, my God. Rosemary. Anybody else? Okay. Here's who I have. I have Diane, Sonia, Mary, Lisa, and Rosemary. Okay. So we'll start, if you're not Diane, if you would please mute your phone again by pressing star one. And Diane, what question do you have for Susan? Good morning.
Good morning. Actually, it's Diana. And I would like to know how, after praying for your child, for 15 years for God to help him, and he's getting worse. How do you reconcile that as far as, I've been in program a long time. I have a wonderful abstinence. I sponsor, and it's one thing that I just don't understand why God isn't helping him. And I have a little bit of a loss of my faith in my higher power, and I'd like to know what you think about that.
Thank you for the question. I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer this. I don't have children, but I do know that God performs miracles. And I'm just going to pass on that because I just don't think I'm in the best position to answer on a specific question like that. So I hope that's okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Diana, for the question. And I would agree with Susan. There's so many people that probably do have those experiences with children and others that can answer that. So take advantage of our fellowship here. Okay, next up we have Sonia followed by Mary. Sonia, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Susan, for your message. I love seeing you on the Cornwall meeting. I found an in-person meeting on Sunday mornings, 7:30. And I was invited by a fellow, and no one there says recovered. And I went a few times and did, and I felt a little strange. And I am not going because I just feel uncomfortable. And I'm just wondering, and part of me is like, don't let anybody take you out of the meeting, but their perspective is that abstinence is the most important thing, and I've just learned something completely different. So I'm just wondering, how can I be a power of example? Should I go to this meeting? Should I not? It's an in-person meeting. I'm just wondering what kind of experience you've had with this.
There's the title, right? When we recover loudly, we keep others from dying quietly.
Yeah.
So recovered, recovery, all of those things, what difference does it make? Be a lantern, be a messenger. I think it's so important because perhaps there's one person in there who's feeling like, I don't understand what's going on here. It feels like a dire. I'm not sure. Be a lantern. God is directing you to go there for a reason. So I think that that's a brilliant question centered around the title. So thank you for it. Go back to the meeting.
Thank you. That's what I thought. Okay.
Thank you, Sonia. Okay, next up we have Mary followed by Lisa. Mary, good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can, Mary. Good morning to you.
Okay, great. Mary C. from Ohio. Susan, thank you. I loved your talk this morning. It was just absolutely great. I have a question. You've touched a little bit on this, but not specifically, I think. I was with my niece yesterday at her birthday party, and every time I see her, she's bigger and bigger and bigger, and it breaks my heart. She turned 25, and she's definitely a 100-pounder or more. And she's never once asked me how I even lost my weight. Never mentioned it, never says anything about it. I don't know how to approach her or if I should approach her. She's not really seems to be inquiring about weight loss. I just, it breaks my heart to see her get bigger and bigger every time I see her. I don't know what to do.
Thank you for the question. And I think it's similar with my sister. You know, no question has been asked, but I always try and listen today. Is somebody making a statement? Are they asking me a question before I respond? So, you know, other people may think differently, but I think you just continue praying for that person. You keep on being an example at family events, everything. And who knows when God will turn her towards you. And I just always think about, you know, again, page 11, here was something at work in a human heart. That's all you have to do is be kind and loving. And if there's ever a moment when you're at that kitchen table together having a talk, yours will be simple. But again, I think you have to listen for the invitation and wait for the question.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, next up we have Lisa, followed by Rosemary. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Larry, for your service. And Susan, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to hear you. I just was wondering, how many phone calls do you have per day, approximately? I'm just curious.
I really don't know. There's, you know, some days I have more sponsee calls than other days, and if I can pick up a call during the day, I do. I really don't know the answer to that question. I'm sorry.
No worries. Thank you.
It's a lot. Thanks, Lisa. Okay, and Rosemary, good morning.
Thanks.
Rosemary,
thanks.
Star one. Oh, there you are.
Hi. Thank you, Larry, for your service. And thank you so much, Susan, for your share and everybody being on the line, all your input. You had said something, Rosemary, yes, from New York. You said something before, and I started to write it down. Before I started to write it down, now it's gone from my mind. It was just a short thing, something about when you have your resentments or self-destructive or something. I don't know. Do you remember what you said just a few minutes ago? Something about, it was like a phrase you said. Do you remember what you said?
I talked about God performing miracles, being a lantern, being a messenger. Larry, do you remember what I said? I know we can't afford resentments, period. That I know.
You said a resentment will kill me.
Yeah.
Well, it will. There you go. Thank you. It will kill. It's that's in the book. Yes, it will kill all of us.
Yeah. There was something else, but okay.
Also,
sorry.
I can't afford to hoard resentments.
Oh,
hoard
hoarding.
Resentments.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
I can become a hoarder. That's right.
Yes.
There you go.
How did
and
it go?
People are texting me, telling me what I said to let go of self-pity.
Yeah. Something about hoarding resentment. What was
well,
that?
Well, I did. I said we can become hoarders. We can
right.
become hoarders of these resentments. So you know what that means when somebody hoards. Yeah. And it's not worth it. We have to, I think I said we have to uncover, discover, discard. I have to discard those resentments. I can't keep holding on to them a tiny bit because any lurking notion that that's correct is going to put me face down back in the food.
Thank you.
I'm not always right. Yeah.
Hoarding, you said discarding. What were those three things? Discarding and?
Uncover.
Oh, uncover.
Discover.
Thank you.
Discover, discard. You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Okay. We're gonna close pretty shortly, but I read to Susan this morning, you know, in the big book, it says simple but not easy. A price had to be paid. It meant that you're here till 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, no, I didn't say that. But anyway, we have time. If there is one or two more questions, we could take those. And if not, we'll close. Michelle?
Erin.
I missed the second name.
Erin Kay in Michigan.
Okay. Let's follow up just with Michelle and Erin. So if you could mute again, except Michelle. And Michelle, what question do you have for Susan this morning?
Good morning. This is Michelle. Susan, thank you so much. I just need to tell you that I love the whole old Coke ad about the circle singing in harmony and the broad highway. I see us all in the carpool lane. And it's just that was a very, very powerful visual for me about the broad highway and being all inclusive. I hear a lot of balance in your life. And is that something that you plan daily? Because balance is so key. So I was wondering if you could just share a thing or two about how you achieve balance.
Thank you for the question. I've always been very organized, very this, very that, but I do believe, and it tells me in the book, there's a vast amount of fun, and I'm supposed to go out there and have fun, and I make sure that I do. You know, I don't sit on meetings all day long, and if I did, I wouldn't be practicing these principles in all my affairs. So I need to get out there. I need to do things. Today, I'll be home a lot. I have my little routine and my food prep and the farmer's market, and I've got my home meeting after that. But it's very important. Balance is very, very important. Spend time with our families. And when I do, and my sponsees know this, you know what? Sometimes you can't pick up the phone. If you're in the middle of something with your family, you can return the call. But, yeah, I don't know. Lots of these things just come to me. So if not, you know, write yourself out a schedule and see how that works. So I don't know that really helped, but that's what I have coming to me.
Thanks for the question, Michelle. Oh, yeah, okay, Erin, it's your turn. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Susan. Thank you so much. My question is, what do you say to the person or people who might feel like there are cliques or an in crowd in OA, and that they look at that and feel that they're on the outside? Yeah, that's my question.
Thank you. Well, I've been accused of being cliquey. Don't believe I am. All are welcome. All are welcome. And again, sometimes that comes from the people who are sitting in the back row and don't want to come all the way in. So we have to come all the way in, get in the center. We invite you for coffee. Come, stay afterwards for fellowship. Get on the dance floor with us. I can look at my own behaviors and think, okay, am I? I don't believe that I am. I have plenty of love in my heart and love friends and, you know, have a huge circle. So I have to, you know, I just have to look at that, and I have to meet people where they're at as well. So I can't spend too much time worrying about that. God has a plan for them and for us, and I don't think anybody intentionally is cliquey or anything else. You know, everybody can come on a meeting early. Everybody can welcome people. Everybody at the birthday party should welcome people. Everybody's welcome on the dance floor, in the rooms, here, when we come on the meetings early and we all say good morning. I dial in, you know, even when I'm moderating, I get on super early, and it's lovely to chat with people and to hear them. So get in the center of the herd. The dance floor is big, and everybody is welcome to be on it. Thank you, Erin.
Thanks, Erin. Okay, so we're going to, Susan, thank you so much. You know, I just thought of a question. I'm going to take the liberty. I'm going to take some license here and ask a question if you want to answer it.
It's a very simple one.
I don't know, right? Well, it involves the OA birthday. And I wonder if you could sort of contrast, do you remember the first OA birthday that you went to, and maybe compare that to your experience with your recovery to now and what you've learned and so forth. I don't know if that makes any sense, but if you'd speak to that, I'm just excited about the birthday coming up.
Sure. I mean, it can be very overwhelming for people at first. It can be large. It's gotten a lot larger over the years, and especially since we were in COVID and did it online. For me, I think what's changed is this worldwide fellowship has really started to come and how many people want to be involved. You know, on our committee, we have a friend from the UK who's handling all of the swag and just how it's grown. And just to see the excitement when people will say, I know your voice from there. Or wait, I thought you were taller. I thought you were this, you know, and those Zoom Hollywood squares come alive. So I think that actually that time that we spent in COVID really, really did change a lot. And the excitement and the buzz and, you know, people work really hard. So, you know, also as you get to know people more, speaking to what Erin just said, you know, you want to see your friends. Of course, you bond with some people more than others, but it's an incredible experience. It tells us in the book, we should not miss. We should not miss. So I hope that you won't miss, and I hope I'll see you in January. I know I will see you, Larry. Thank you.
Yes, you will. Thanks, Susan. And thank you so much for your generous time this morning. Just a wonderful contribution to the archives here, which, again, the share ID for Susan's special edition presentation is 21901, 21901. And please hang out for a moment. We're going to, as soon as we close and end the recording, we're going to ask Susan for her contact information. So let's now close with a reading from our namesake here for the meeting, A Vision for You, and a chapter entitled Vision for You. I'm going to read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.